kind of old-fashioned cop who preferred working the streets and making arrests to taking tests toward promotion. He was the closest thing New York had to a Dirty Harry.
This is One Tough Podcast. Here's your host, Bo Deedle.
Welcome to One Tough Podcast. I'm joined here, like always, with my man, Carlo.
Hello, good morning.
So today we have like a new star of screen, but he's my friend for a long time. And his name is Mr. Wayne Diamond. He's one of the most unique guys in the world. And whatever we say on this podcast, I'll still love Wayne Diamond. Wayne, welcome to the show, my brother.
Thanks, but thanks, Bo. Thanks, Carlo. I mean, I can't even fucking believe I'm here.
Hey,
I mean, one of my best friends of all times.
Hold
on. I mean, hey, Bo, come on, keep it down. Let me get a word in.
Let me give you your credit. You got one freaking credit.
Go ahead, baby.
He's a star of this great movie called Uncut Gems with Adam Sandler and a couple of other broken down Jews from 47th Street.
all his old customers. I mean, give me a fucking break here.
Wayne, welcome to the show.
No, I'm going to love it, Bo. I love it. Great movie. You got to run out there and see it, Uncut Gems.
I saw it.
It was unbelievable.
It was a little depressing at the end. I didn't like who got the end.
Spoilers. Some people.
No, I'm not saying what happened. It's almost like The Joker, which is a great movie, but it was a little depressing.
But that's why I came in, and you know, in a helicopter, boom, got everybody laughing.
You had the hooker with you. You know about those hookers. I saw your moves with that hooker. You've done it before. Could have been with all that cash like that.
Hey, I would have taken the fucking cash, believe me.
Okay, let's talk about Wayne Diamond. Where did you grow up? Tell us a little bit about your background. Come on, buddy.
I grew up in Oceanside, Long Island. Went to Oceanside High School. My father taught in high school. Brilliant guy, great guy. Mother taught in Brentwood.
Two teachers
in a family. Bro.
That's why you're so smart.
Yeah, fucking yeah. Except for the drugs and all the other shit. I've lost a lot of brain cells over the years.
I'll say.
Hey, what the fuck? You deal with what you got to deal with as you get older. But, you know, I went to Long Beach. That's where we hung out as kids. National Boulevard, we laid in the sun like a lot.
We could tell. You got a face look like you laid in leather.
Look at you.
Leather face.
You hide it with a fucking beard. Hold on.
Look at his teeth, Carl.
Look at the teeth.
He's got all fake teeth.
Those are good teeth.
His face looks like leather. He has hair.
He's bald. He's got no fucking hair. He's fat. He's a fat old Italian. German Jew. He's a German Jew. Looks like a fat German Jew. Look at him. Look, he wears these suits to cover up the fucking belly. Me, I wear a tight shirt. I look fucking good.
We're the same age, the two of us. And you take those psoriasis. What's that called?
I had psoriasis, and I use this new drug called Stella. They give you a shot 3 times a year. No more psoriasis on my elbow, nowhere, not on my dick, not on my ass.
Yeah, we were at the beach once together, remember? I saw that shit.
One chick was passing,
and Wayne said, "Hey, how you doing?" She looked at him, she goes, "Please, is this Monsters of the Sea?"
No, she thought she didn't like me because she thought I had leprosy. It was really fucking bad.
All right, let's talk about you. So you grew up with mom and dad, school teachers, very nice. That's why you're smart, because they taught you in the early beginnings, which is good. When did you move out of Oceanside?
I moved out of Oceanside. I guess I went to college.
Where'd you go to college?
I went to this Bryan College for about 5 months. I got D's and F's, and I got out of there quick. It was in Rhode Island, horrible place.
And then what'd you do?
I ran over to New York Tech right away. I love this place. I learned how to do my car. We used to do the carburetors.
All the Italian kids would teach me how to use the spark plugs. So that was like a trade school.
No, I was taking accounting, but the parking lot was full of potheads and car mechanics. It was wonderful. I learned everything about a car, the inside and outside of a making of a car.
So how did you
nobody gave a shit about
the
school.
A lot of people don't know about Wayne Diamond. Anybody in the garmental industry know Wayne Diamond. And Wayne Diamond is one of the most famous guys in the garment center.
He was one of the first guys with
designing dresses. Tell us a little bit how you got involved with the schmata business.
Well, it happened. I wrote a little story that's on my The Wayne Diamond on Instagram. You can read all about it, or you read me, Wayne Diamond's Coming Back. I was about 17, and all these rich kids on Long Island, for the five towns. I lived in Oceanside. I was poor. My parents were school teachers.
Poor Jews?
All Jews, all fucking
poor
Jews.
Poor Jews?
Yeah, poor Jews. Oh, yeah, we were school teachers. They're making $3,000 fucking dollars a year. I mean, give me a break. I mean, what are you
okay.
doing that?
I didn't think there
Even
was any
then,
poor
that was
Jews.
Shit.
I thought it was just my son-in-law.
No, we had some poor Jews in those years. Okay. Real poor Jews. We were poor Jews. So my father was, I had like 9 jobs, accounting, teaching, all this shit. And, you know, none of the kids would take me. You know, they were all flying with their parents to Florida. I got for $19, I had a Greyhound bus. I weighed about 100 pounds when I got on the bus. I left from Oceanside or Rockville Center or some shit. And we went all the way out to Florida. And when I get down to Florida, the bus stops in front of, right near the Eden Rock, this place. I don't know what the fuck it was. I went in there, I'm starving. I mean, I was down to 90 pounds and I was dehydrated.
I had to buy him a sandwich
today.
Yeah,
right, wrist now. I mean, yeah. You know, when you don't got something to eat, man, it sucks, man. And I, all of a sudden, I'm there, they're calling out names. They're calling out Bookbinder, this guy, all these different names. And all of a sudden, I hear him call out a guy, Myelaski. So I signed his name. What the fuck did I know?
Whoa, wait. You went there, and what were your names calling out? What? I don't get it.
No, they're calling out names like...
like at the counter,
saying,
like your food's
133,
ready.
Your fucking food's ready. You know what
oh,
I mean?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, I all of a sudden, they call out Maya, you know, I saw them calling in Maya Lansky. So I used the name Maya Lansky. I said, oh, I'd like to order a hamburger, French fries, and a Coke. And I'm Maya Lansky's nephew, okay? I just made the fucking shit up. All of a sudden, I get the food. I mean, I'm shoving it down my fucking throat. I'm so hungry. And this little guy, 5'1", comes over to me. And he says, hey, kid, how do you get this? You know, whose name you sign? I said, some guy's name. I don't know. It could have been anybody. I don't know who I signed. He says, well, I'm the guy you signed. I'm Maya Lansky. I said, oh, that's great. Very nice to meet you, sir.
You sure wasn't a little Jew that wanted to be Maya Lansky?
No. Probably wanted to share a sandwich with me. What the fuck do I know? He was nice. Came over. Was really nice. And then he said to me, hey, where are you from? I said, Long Island. My parents are school teachers. Bum, bum, bum. One thing led to another. He says, you're not adding numbers, kids? I said, yeah, I know how to add numbers. So he gives me this list of numbers. Like about 20 numbers, you know? I added him up in my head. He says, you know what? I like you, kid. And you know what? He for 5 years after that, he paid for everything in the Eden Rock for me. Because the story ended up, he put me in a dress business 4 years later.
So you never heard that name before? You had no idea who he was?
You didn't know who my last
name was? Jew from Long Island. My parents are school teachers. What the fuck do you know about a mobster? I mean, and he was no mobster. He was to me... I don't think there are any mobsters. Every guy I ever met, would let them be Jews, Italians, Irish, they're all nice guys. I mean, I love these people. They're nice. They're always nice to you.
So,
they're always nice to me.
So you end up going to the fashion district there, which is the Garmento Center.
Right.
And he put you into business?
He put me in business
with
Murray
kind of
Oliphant. Guy called Murray Oliphant and Maya Lansky put me in business. Murray Seifert was the accountant. We had Dubinsky as the driver, and we had this other guy. All these guys from, like, Murder Incorporated, I think, from the...
Well, we know who was doing your trucking, well, I'm sure.
My trucking was done by the nice... Like, it was, like, the nicest person I ever met in my life.
Gambinos.
The best. There's nobody better.
Tommy Gambino and...
The most honest people I've ever did business with in my life. Like Maya said to me, Jews should do business with Italians. Italians should do business with Jews. And you don't get fucked. The minute I did business with my own people, I got fucked. I mean, you know,
so
when it's
did
the
it
same
really,
thing with all my Italian friends.
So
the minute they went with their own,
so you started
fucked.
Making big money, right, Wayne? So obviously when you make
I'm a billionaire very young.
Big money comes in, the cocaine comes out, the side orders come out, all these negatives come out, gambling comes out, right?
Everything, you're in action, it's all action. All business is action, yeah. I love the dice. I love the fucking dice. I love the dice. I'd be in Atlantic City all the time. I'd have the action at the tables. You got the bras. You got the blicker.
Cocaine
you
liked.
Well, yeah, listen, we all like cocaine, Bo. Stop your bullshit. You were a cop. I mean, go jerk me off. I mean, like, I never met anybody that somebody put their hand out like this with some coke on it that didn't suck it up. I mean, come on.
So then you were living really fast life. Great life.
I would give it up.
You know, I do know your lovely wife, Helen. When did you meet her now?
Well, I was married to some chick before her. There was a nice woman.
A white woman?
Yes. You know, with my fake tan type of look. You know what I mean? She was just a great
chick. Did you have any children with her?
She's the daughter. She's the mother of my first child. So
you have any? Oh, you had one child with her.
Yeah, yeah. Erica went to Harvard, Yale, and Vassar.
Wow, great.
Yeah.
So go ahead. So now.
So I'm with her. Boom, boom,
what
boom.
What year are we talking about?
This is 1976. That lasted 75, 76. That lasted a very short period of time. She threw all my clothes out the window one day. That was the end of the fucking marriage.
Well, you were in full throttle at that time.
Not really. I was just about in second gear.
Getting off.
I was just ready to hit that fucking Hurst and hit it third and fourth.
Then she decided she wanted out of this.
Yeah, well, I was happy. We were sitting over the Passover plates, and all of a sudden the guy came to the door of my mother's house, handed me the fucking summons. I said, "What the fuck?" I ran right out of the fucking service. You know, a little
divorce summons.
I told her to go fuck herself, and I went over to the house and I took all my shit out of my apartment at Alhambra Condominium in Oceanside. She's gonna steal all my shit. So it ended up, they gave me, I asked somebody for an attorney, they gave me Roy Cohn.
What?
Roy Cohn is a fucking attorney, a divorce attorney. I speak to this guy on the phone for about an hour. And he's telling me what he's going to do. I mean, this guy, you talk about a lunatic. This guy
was, I knew Roy.
This guy was the sickest motherfucker.
We're
going to wire the house. Don't worry. We'll get her on something.
We're going to hire Bo Deedle. We're going to have surveillance on her ass.
Probably. This guy was sick. So I said.
How much?
No. This was going to be like a nice deal. But I ended up passing. I went to Gil Wallach, my family attorney, made a deal, gave my fucking wife everything I had. All the money I had, whatever I had.
Just leave me alone.
Just stay away from my business, and you got all my money, and you got everything. I just get the fuck out of here. Okay,
so now
you moved to Long Beach, boom, 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 hanging out with all the boys. Well, you know, Long Beach was like my home. I love Long Beach. Everybody loves Long Beach. I mean, where has there been a beach in a fucking world than Long Beach? So I'm at Long Beach, and then I end up going to... where am I going after that? I'm hanging out at the places and whatever. I'm in business, and I asked the guy down the hall. This is a true story, Bo. I told you a story a long, long time ago. I got this accountant, this freaky accountant that lived in the North Shore Towers I moved to because I didn't want to be too far away from the kid. So I'm in North Shore Towers. There's an accountant down the hall. It's really like real nerd. I mean, he was a nerd. He's a nice guy. I know him even today. Real nerd. So the guy sees all the broads coming in and out of my apartment. And he says, I'd like to get a couple of those. I said, hey, no problem, buddy. I gave him some cocaine and some lewds. I said, but this is what you got to do for me. I'm starting like Trump here. I'm like Trump, who's the biggest thief in the goddamn in history. I mean, he makes Bernie Madoff look like honest. So I give him the things, and I said to him, I want a nice girl to take to the Jack Martin affair. You remember the days?
Yeah.
Big affair in a garment set. Yeah, everybody's there. All the important buyers.
Wait a second. I heard that you went to the psychiatrist and met your wife.
Nah, that's not. She tells a story that
I thought you were laying down, and then she became your wife.
She wrote a paper on me. God, jerk me off. She gives everybody this bullshit story. Makes me look.
Yeah, she tells me. Oh, I met her. I was his therapist, and I married him. I said, "Well, Helen, if you were his therapist, why would you want to marry this?"
If it was my therapist, I would just fuck her and leave her. I mean, give me a break. No relationship.
So you meet Helen through.
I make a deal. I call her on the phone. I said, hey, baby, you want to meet me? I mean, meet me. Well, let's get together.
Did you have the psoriasis on your penis at that time?
No. At that time, I used some cortisone, you know, to make sure I peeled off the band.
Okay, go ahead.
It was not a problem in those days either. I never used a rubber or anything, so it was like, you know, it was not never a problem.
Yeah.
So I met her, and then she ended up coming to the affair with me, and how she fell in love with me is... I'll tell you the story. We're waiting outside. We go to the affair. Boom, boom, boom. I make it out with some 70-year-old buyer from Montgomery Ward, sticking my tongue in her mouth. She's getting sick because I said to her, "Listen, I got to do this shit to get my, you know, to get a big order." You know,
you
got to do what you got to do. In the dress business, you got to just do. I mean, the girl, if the lady's 100, you got to eat her. I mean, if you want to make money, the more asses you lick, the more money you make. Knows this better than anybody.
Well, our best friend, one of our dear friends, Shelly, was in the men's garment, though. And then part of the whole deal was to entertain your buyers.
You got it.
They used to go to Dominican Republic. We used to go here, there, and you had to take care of your buyers.
You got to give them, buy them shit. Now you got to do all this shit for them. I mean, 90% of them were like they just wanted everything, you know. There were 10% that were just good people. So I did all the shit I had to do, boom, boom, boom. Then I go on to the next thing. What did I leave?
No. So then you marry Helen.
I marry Helen. This is the white reason she married me. Okay, that night that I took her out after the affair, that night studio closed, Studio 54. Now, I always went to studio. I love studio. Studio was the greatest place.
That was Cohen's place.
Yeah. Rubel.
I think Rubel
was hitting each other.
They were hitting each other in the caboodle.
And they both got AIDS together and they died together. Yeah. It was a wonderful experience.
I chased Rubel out of Studio 54.
You're lucky to spit on yourself.
And no. Then I got a call from Cohen. Detective Deedle, can I meet with you? I say, dickhead, if you're going to try to bribe me, I says, not going to happen, because Rubel grabbed one of the gals that I was going in with, and he shook her. I said, get your hands. All of a sudden, he goes to the bouncers, get him. And these are all off-duty cops. And I said, come on, guys, get me. And they knew I was a psycho motherfucker. And they all backed up. I chased Rubel all around Studio 54. He ran out the back door.
He was such an asshole.
So I ran over to the precinct and made a complaint report right away, because I figured this guy's going to retaliate.
You knew without a doubt.
And then Slimy Ball, Detective Dino, can I talk to you, Roy Cohn? Yeah, I said, look, there's no beef here. All I'd say is he can't be putting his hands on girls. Let him apologize, and I'll have him drop the charge. And that's what happened with Steve Cohn, Steve Rubel, and Roy Cohn.
Yeah, well, Steve Rubel.
So this is the night that Studio 54 was closing. So this was
the first night. This was the night that they closed in the place. That everybody was there.
Yeah.
Everybody out. They closed it down. So I didn't know what to do. So my friend Charlie, who's going out with a little boy, who he ended up marrying, and my other friend Herbie Brofman. They're all dead. Charlie's still in Connecticut with the best restaurant. So he's got the coke and he's got all the drugs and everything. And I don't know where he is. So I see that they call me on the phone. We're in this place across. What was the place with the big speakers on the floor? I forget. It became the next big place.
Zenon?
I mean, I bring up Regine's also when it comes to Donald Trump. But so whatever.
Zenon?
Zenon's. Me and my wife are sitting, going to Zenon's, and they won't let me in. I get on the phone, and I said, hello, this is Dr. Diamond. It's a fucking emergency. Look, I got a patient on a fucking table. I got to speak to Dr. Charlie Kaufman now. Please. Oh, you can't speak to anyone. I said, listen to me. If this patient dies,
Kaufman?
this is all being recorded. And you're going to be sued for everything there, man. You better get him out of here now. There is a little door on the side, okay? He comes out of a little door.
Charlie Kaufman.
All the lights.
You know who that is, right?
No, this is not the guy you think.
Oh.
All the lights go on in the whole place. This is how she fell in love with me. Hey, Wayne, we're over here. I go through a little door with her. And we go inside. He's got lines all set up for me. And it was the greatest.
Mine's a cocaine. Yeah,
the doctor's in.
Yeah, a little pop is
the doctor. The doctor was in. He had to need medication.
right away. It was.
Oh,
the
so
best.
She thought you were like a fucking rock star.
Yeah, who could get you in the fucking place? We were all sweating in our tuxedos and our gown because we had just gone to the affair for the garment center, and that's how she fell in love. I told her to rip up all the shit and crap. I ripped up all her names and shit, and then she started. You know how women do it. The underwear is left in your house by mistake. Then they leave their pair of pants.
What do you mean?
Then the car is.
What do you mean? Underwear? Men's underwear was left in.
No, women's, but what women's? I know you got this homosexual edge here.
Oh, okay.
It's okay. Nothing against it. I mean, if it comes out, it's not important to me. Okay, it's really not fucking important.
Well, but she left us. Do you have to adjust those teeth at any point?
It depends on who I'm eating.
But okay, so he has a very, so now he marries Helen, okay, and then when do you start having this beautiful family? And then his family, you don't even know about it. His family was highlighted. He becomes friends with Howard Stern.
Howard was in the neighborhood. I mean, we weren't best friends.
From
I mean,
Westbury.
I liked Howard.
And your daughters were going out.
Best friends.
Best friends with
Emily,
his daughters.
Emily and Jamie are still best, very, very good friends. And the kids. And I got to say something about Howard. Jamie, this year, I mean, Howard really changed radically. I'd really like to sit down and see him again and talk to him. But he wrote my daughter an incredible letter this year. I mean, I don't want to go into it, but even Jamie didn't let me read the whole thing. But she gave me the narrative.
The gist.
Narrative. And let me tell you, there's a turnaround in Howard Stern's life that's tremendous.
On a plus side.
Look at this. I'm getting goosebumps, I swear. Because Howard was like so introverted. He always did his work in his basement. I mean,
yeah, a lot of people
he finally came out of himself. And he's, you know, I hear he's doing great. I mean, hey, money is not the fucking answer, guys. Money's a jerk. You got to have money.
He's a billionaire.
But for? He's got the blonde wife now. You know, the little arm candy. You know, he looks good hanging out with Sedgwick and what's his name?
Let me tell you
Bacon.
Those are his best friends. He's a nice guy. I was never a big listener. You know, obviously, he gave me an ultimatum years ago. Either you do Imus or you're going to come on my show. I said, I'll do Imus. And I continue. Imus died in Christmas. But I tell you, I've been listening to him lately. And when I drive out to the Hamptons, I put him on a rerun on Sirius. He's a great interviewer, Howard. Great interviewer.
He's better at, what's that game? Not Jeopardy, the game you play, you know, to guess what happened in 1946 or something. We used to play that game all the time. Not Jeopardy. What's that game called? When you know different things like...
Trivial Pursuit.
Holy shit.
Really?
Holy shit. We used to sit down, all of us.
He memorized everything. He's a reader.
No, he just knows every fucking thing you can think of. The guy is a... Guy knows everything. I mean, guy. I'm going back 40 years ago. I mean, it's probably 40 years ago. Yeah. He knew everything. We played the game all the time with him, and that guy just never messed up.
But he was introverted guy, like what he's saying.
Very introverted.
He finally came out.
The new shrink got him out of this stuff.
Well, yeah, and then he becomes this master of the universe. And he truly is. Everyone dies to go on his... We try to get on. What happened with me going on his show?
Oh, we'll get together.
Who's over there? Who are you dealing with?
Somebody on his team. He's got like a whole booking.
No, the main producer. What's his name? The main producer.
Fuck that shit. You got to beg to get on the show. Come on.
Who's the main producer?
Gary?
Gary.
Gary, okay, Gary.
Gary DiMarco there, whatever his name is. Hey, you'd call that guy up and tell him I want to come on the show, right? That's it. You want to come on with me, Wayne?
You and I should do a show together. Yeah. You're getting really fucking crazy.
All right. So now you're in third gear. You're making them piss of money.
My kids have three
beautiful daughters.
All in all, we moved up. I built a house for Helen when we first got married.
In Old Westbury, which I was there.
A big fucking house.
And I'll never forget.
So how did you guys meet?
How did we meet?
Let's start with Old Westbury first. I move into Old Westbury, and it's about...
we knew each other ancillary, but, you know, we weren't like...
Yeah, like we saw each other in the same fucking place.
He would in the same circles.
Yeah, he would go, fuck you, Bo. I'd go, fuck you, Wayne.
Yeah, that would be real, real warm kind of friendship. but it was in those days. But then I had a problem. I had a fucking problem.
Go ahead.
I didn't have a problem. I get a problem in my fucking house. Bobby Bender invites OJ over to fucking house to play golf with us. So I said, okay. So OJ comes over to my house that night. This is the night before he killed his wife and the other kid, you know, with the glove that fit. And then he's banging on my fucking door. Wayne, I need your copy machine right now. Whatever, fax machine. I never used it. I said, here, take the fuck. I don't know how to use it. He takes it back to Bobby's house and he might need it for something. And then he flew to Chicago the next day, supposedly, in L.A. And that night, a ninja came into my house. I could have been killed and stole a safe out of my house with about $1 million.
Burglars.
Yeah, and his fucking cocksucker insurance company gave me $250,000. I mean, 4 years later, because they said it was part of the trial. I mean, insurance companies, chump. Fuck you.
Explain to him what you told about part of the trial.
Yeah, they stole the money.
You got interviewed with the OJ thing too, right?
Yeah. They thought because he borrowed my machine and Bobby was his friend, not me. I mean, I played golf, but I mean, we
Bobby wasn't Al Tomatoes was.
Yeah,
too.
So we were out together. Me and Bobby were out together. They stole all the shit out of my house, and they figured this was part of the deal. Then I call up Bo. I call up Bo because Bo comes over right away. It's a fucking inside drive. Well, my driver's dead now, Frankie, so I can talk about it.
Oh, no, I slapped his
around. He comes over to me, sits at the kitchen table. Wayne, it's definitely Frank. It's an inside fucking job. It's probably a driver. He knew where his safe was, told one of his friends to come over, a ninja guy, picked the safe up, took it out.
Eventually, when I interviewed him, I used you ever see one of those vices? and I put his hand in a fucking vice. I squeezed it. Then I went back to Wayne. I said, I don't think he did it. We did. I think one finger did snap. That. Yeah, yeah. Then I believed him after I told you.
Yeah, okay, right. Good, because I like Frankie. I like Frankie.
No, but prior to that, you're missing the whole point, man. I retired from the police department in 1985. I want to go to become a golfer, right? So next thing that happens is I go to this Christian club there, over there.
Oh, Lakes, was it? The one near the...
off the highway there. Off the...
Wheatley.
And they go like this. They go like this. Okay, fill out the application. And Regina Zelenko was my ex-wife, a Russian Jew. And they go like this, you're married to a Jew? I says, well, she's not really a practicing.
Motherfuckers, you are. You are.
All of a sudden, they go like this. Well, we'll have to think about it. You could play daytime, nighttime, and so. And I go like this. I says, really? And then they want me to pay the money. They go, well, you can only play 2 days a week.
Because he's married to a Jew. Because he's married to a Jew.
I said like this. Unbelievable. I don't think I want to be a member of this club.
Comes over to me, tells me the story.
And then I go to Wayne and Al Morse, God rest his soul. Yeah. They go, fuck them. Yeah. Come over here. So all the old people in Old Westbury, all the old Jews love me.
First round.
They love Bo.
First round's the best. No, he gets a dress in the locker room, and they're all like 90-year-old guys there. All 90-year-old guys in the locker room sitting there. Bo takes off all his clothes. Nine guns and nine.
No.
Oh, it was a ton of guns. I said, the fucking guy is like, he's breathing heavy. They're calling up an EMS for this guy. He's looking scared shitless.
The members of Old Westbury were so old, they had a fucking ambulance outside.
Yeah, always.
One was dying. Yeah. So now what happened? One of the incidents that happened,
funny.
This young kid wins the tournament, the best golfer of the club, and all of a sudden they're at the ceremony. I'm sitting there with a couple of my guys, and everyone knows who I am. And I'll be honest with you, the old Jewish people were the biggest supporters I ever had. They love Bo Dietl. Next thing is that this kid gets up and starts a fight with this old little Jewish guy, and he says something to his wife, and the guy gets up because he dissed the wife, and then he pushes the old man down, and everyone's yelling, Bo, Bo! And I get up there, I knock him on his ass, and then all of a sudden they come over to me. They come over to me. Did you have to hit him so hard? I said, do me a favor from now on. Don't call me, all right? How do you regulate?
Just hit the brother. Hit him.
But I tell you what, Old Westbury, great club.
Played a lot of golf.
Yeah, a lot of golf. We had a lot of fun together. And we traveled around.
Young. We were young then.
One of the great ones was I'm out in the Hamptons, and he gives me a call. Bo, get over here. He's there with Helen and his kids. They're in the vestibule of, what was the name of that place on the beach where you were there? The place that they threw you out of?
It's probably at Fisher Island.
No, the place in Long Island in the Hamptons. When you were in they told you to take your shit and get out of here.
Who told you? Nobody ever threw me. You make up these
Dune deck or some crap.
Who's going to throw you in a dune deck? You know where there are people there with disease.
You don't remember me coming over there? You, Helen, and your kids?
Oh, no, that's when, I called you up because they stole the Helen's. Helen thought that, Helen, you know how women are? Everything that's missing is stolen. So it wasn't stolen. She's accusing everybody
to
fucking place.
There.
Yeah, I call them up. He lost the thing. There was a dude at the other fucking place, the nicer place. So she's telling me, oh, they stole it from me. They stole the, it was inside my bag. I know it. We get in the fucking car on the way home. She finds the fucking thing. I'm going like, how do you do that? You can't even go back to this place.
He's yelling and Helen's yelling at everybody. And then the guy comes out in the fucking car.
She's an asshole. Total asshole.
But then you really build a business up and you end up selling the business for over $100 million.
Yeah, no, a lot of money. I got a lot of money for a piece of the business, but you know, they wanted me to work there. I could have made a lot more money. And you know what? It was over. The business, the garment set is a 24/7 job.
Did you have to travel to China and all that shit?
Yeah, I had a guy do it for me, David. You know David. David did all that stuff for me. I paid him to do that.
Oh, you didn't travel like Shelly.
I did enough. I had to be with all over the United States. I had to
travel. Yeah, but Shelly the tailor used to have to go to Korea.
It did him a lot of good. It's a waste of time.
Yeah.
If you got somebody doing so, maybe, you know, whatever. It's the right way to do it. I can't do everything.
So wait a second. We missed one thing. When your daughters were there, what was that program you did? Some reality shit, Wayne?
Yeah, we had Dad. When I first retired, I did Daddy's Little Girl with my daughter. I don't want to mention anything about it because now she's pretty famous. And you know, we did the reality show. They were Weed Channel. They wanted us back. And none of my kids would do this shit. None of my kids. It's so embarrassing. It's like, you know, it makes you look like a fool. I mean, how are you going to get a job if you're, you know, Harvard, Yale? You know, all my kids are Harvard, Yale, University of Pennsylvania, Duke, Vanderbilt, all these fucking cocked schools. You know, and they didn't want to do this shit. They said, it's embarrassing. I'll never go anywhere. Forget about it. I'm not doing this reality.
Yeah, you know, they asked me years ago with the Rayos table, right? And they said, Bo, we want to do a reality show, Bo's Thursday Night Table. You know, every guy, every actor, everybody been up there with me. I said, I can't call upon my friends to sit there with a friggin' camera.
Yeah,
oh, Bo, we want to follow you around while you do an investigation.
Yeah,
I said, follow my ball bag around. You know what I mean? If you're going to do so, you look, just look at this mess of a family. It's that's like, worth $1 billion.
See, no, what about, no,
the Kardashians.
I agree. Forget about them. Forget about them. Look at that. That's disgusting.
This housewife?
These housewives of Long Island?
Who's that one with the cockeye?
No, I've been advised. Please give me a bag.
No, who's that one with the cockeye?
No, what's that one? That one that says she's 62 years old and she's dancing all the time on Instagram, and she's disgusting. The woman is disgusting. Then you had the other one that came out with wine that all the boyfriends seemed to die.
Yeah, then Shelly's son Gary is banging one of those.
Oh, yeah, the other one.
He gets all the retreads.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Handsome boy.
Yeah, that's psoriasis too, like you.
Well, listen. Listen, I'm like Lou, I had two also. Hey, whatever, what the fuck? I mean, Shelly's kids, I mean, I love
the kids. But
they were good kids. I mean, I love Shelly. Look, how could you not love Shelly?
You know what? In reality, it's very difficult, Carlo, to do one of those reality shows because, I mean, they see all your, especially this one in a reality show.
Nah, they see everything about your family. They know you all have. Let's go back to Uncut Gems. I'd like to go back.
Yeah, so how'd you get involved with that?
How'd you get involved with Uncut Gems?
Okay,
Uncut Gems, I really say, it's a great movie.
Fucked.
Great movie out there.
Academy Award, we got fucked. Okay?
I don't know about Academy Award.
I think it should be Academy. Adam Sandler was great.
One of the best movies of the year, I have to say.
And
Ronnie Bronstein, he wrote it. He should have gotten an award for screenplay. It was so different than any other screenplay done.
I tell you, the more I think about it, the more I think about it, the more I like it.
And you got Sebastian.
Yeah, I do like it.
Sebastian McCloud, who's I love Dealey. He's my very good friends.
Because you're in the garment. This is more about the jewelry.
Well, I met them at the Spotted Pig about 12 years ago.
They closed that down.
It's still open. The guys
shut it down yesterday. Spotted Pig's finished.
Oh, I used to love the lesbian upstairs. I'm also a lesbian. You know, what we were talking
about Uncut Gems. Come on. Focus, you.
I'm so tired.
Fucking freak.
I never got up this
morning. Yeah, tired. I did 18 pounds of coke every year.
I did for you getting up this fucking early. I never got up this early. So I'm here. So I'm there at the Spotted Pig. I see everybody there, and I talk to everybody at the bars, and boom, boom, boom. I meet this guy, Sebastian, and he's with his dad, and this guy, Josh, and boom, boom. One thing leads to another, and we walk out together. I love it. Cool people. Father was an artist, a very nice man. I loved all of them. So I gave my phone up. He gave me his, and I put it in my phone as artist. And it's about 4 months later, I get a phone call. Hey, Wayne. Who's this? Honest. Yeah, who are you? Oh, the guy from the... Okay. So I said, okay, no problem. He says to me, we want to do a video. We want you in it at the Jane Hotel. I said, I can't wait. I come down. I came out to the Jane Hotel. They had all the equipment out there.
We filmed vinyl there.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. A vinyl. I mean, yeah. It's a great place to film that big room. So...
We had our sex scene in that big room.
Did you really?
It was supposed to be Plato's Retreat. You had about 80 extras. No, I'm with Bobby Cannavale, and I'm with the crazy one there. What's his name there? The one I smashed his head open.
Dice.
Andrew Dice Clay.
And they're
banging each other, and they put socks on their ding-dongs.
I remember that.
And they're
that
banging
one.
Them. And what a sex scene. And I go to Marty Scorsese and says, Marty, you got to move that couple. DeBroy was on top of moaning. She was dropping, you know, loads and shit. And I said, I can't do this thing. I said, I can't concentrate, Marty. Please stop them, move them away. But 80 extras they had having sex with each other, munchetation
like
situation.
Players Retreat, holy shit.
It was supposed to be Players Retreat. But
yeah, I remember seeing
you. You did it at the Jane Hotel, same place, go ahead.
Yeah, the Jane Hotel is just great for this. You go to a room to the right. We did all of these videos on. Videos and short films they were doing, so they invited me to be in all this stuff, and I really kind of loved it. I mean, it was my first real insight into.
Well, you didn't talk. You just.
I know. I didn't talk. It was a no talking thing. But I was a major.
Well,
league
he's
in a lot
got
of these
that
videos.
Look, right? He's got that guitar look, right? He looks like a recurve. Who's that guy that was on
Van Halen? Van Halen, I guess.
No. Van Halen. Of course, between Van Halen and that fucking nut from England. What's his name? That walks.
Ozzy.
Ozzy. Yeah.
Fuck yourself.
It looks like a cross.
You look closer than Ozzy Osbourne. The fucking guy just got Parkinson's.
He tried to talk
terrible.
The other night, and he was like crashing into
terrible,
the wall.
Terrible. I love my. Hey, listen, he was great. I mean, he's like, he gets beat up by that wife.
You got nice hair. Too bad that hair is around a fucking leather.
All right, listen, can we talk about the movie instead of his
butt, so
please.
You're doing all these videos and short films.
I'm doing videos, short films, and then they call me. About 5 years ago, I never read the script. I did not read the emails, and they said to me, hey, "Listen, we're doing a movie. We'd like you to come down and see what we're doing." And I never read it. But when I hit it, when they called me a year and a half ago to do the movie, I hit the name Sebastian McCloud, and guess what comes up? 40 emails about where are you? We need you for this. We need you for that. We're doing this. We're doing that.
Yeah.
And I went like, "Oh my God, my career! How did I fuck it up?" So, but then they said, we got a great part for you in this movie. You're going to be the star of the movie.
Well, you're not the star.
No. He said to me, nobody will ever forget you in this movie.
They should have had you.
Your part was so
they should have had you show up a little earlier.
No. That was good. No, I did. But the greatest thing about this movie is that these guys are so brilliant. They're so brilliant, all of them. Bronstein, the Safdie brothers, and McCloud, Sebastian. The helicopter for 3 hours in the scene. And it got all fucked up because the noise. You got this cheap fucking helicopter, like a Bell helicopter, that's worth about $6,000. I'm lucky I'm alive. I'm lucky I'm sitting here, you know? The thing is flying up and down, and you got this special guy, you know, that does all the movies with the shooting and stuff and flying it. And the problem with the scene was the guy's got his feet on me. It's about this white. I mean, she's here, I'm here, he's in the middle of Safdie. So I started making jokes. And Josh started laughing so much he couldn't hold himself back. I was like, look at the little people down there. How much money could that little fucking person have? You know, look at those little people. What a wonderful thing. And I'm worth $1 billion and my wife left me. I have nothing. I need you, Julia. I need you. You didn't hear any of this shit. All you heard was that, with the helicopter. So we had to redo the scene. Yeah. And then it came out with a new ending. The ending changed because of that. Because really? That scene got fucked up. I think they changed the whole ending, and the ending was sensational. Well, I thought it was sensational. I think the way he ended it from that, when she went with the bear, but whatever. I don't want to say, I give away the movie, but it was the highlight of a lot of people that I speak to, especially I see on Instagram. They all write Wayne. That was the highlight. You were the highlight in the movie everybody was so depressed.
Did you see Carl?
As soon as I saw it, I said, "We got to get Wayne on the show."
Hold on a second. He actually was comparing my part with two of the greatest actors ever in The Irishman to his part. I says, all you did was fix your hair, blow dry your hair.
Here
and,
we go.
And come on, acting, come on.
You did, let me tell you, I seen you, this is the first time, I got to give you credit. I called you on it. First time I ever saw you really act. That 1.5 minutes, you were terrific. You were terrific. The other movies you made me, in Vinyl, you sucked bad. I mean, in the bathroom scene, I mean, I was there going.
How about when I killed Dice?
That was terrible. You fucking. I'll say it right here.
Thank you.
You proved yourself in
thank
this fucking
you. And to be honest about you, I was so happy and so excited. I actually went to the theater on Long Island in the Hamptons by myself. I had my popcorn and I had my Twizzlers.
And it's cocaine.
And I watched the movie myself in the Hamptons, and I really left there. And it was the more I think about it, the more I like the movie. And I'm going to see it again.
You got to see it again.
Yeah.
People don't get
and
that.
And it parted. I mean,
oh my God,
some of that
tense.
Stuff.
You're tense the whole time.
The way they, with the gambling, borrowing from Peter. I mean, it reminds me of my friend Joe Schneer. When he borrows from one, you lie about this, you lie about that.
Those poorish in Belfort, your buddies there.
Yeah, scumbags.
He used to protect them.
Yeah.
They give them $10,000 a week to protect those two scumbags.
Two scumbags.
That was
the Wolf of Wall
Street. How does this guy go in front of people to try?
Now he's going to sue.
sue for $300 million.
$300 million. You know what they did? Put an ash can up your ass, blow it up, and shut the fuck up.
And be happy you're not in jail. You're
lucky that Bo didn't kill you then. not kill you, but beat the shit out of you.
Two little bitches. That's what they were.
They
killed more Jews than Hitler.
No, they did. They really did.
Let me tell you something.
Financially, all the old...
All the old Jewish people in the North Shore gave them their money. Some of these people
were
heartbroken. And this son of a bitch robbed $200 million, paid back $11 million. Now he thinks he's a fucking movie star.
He gets in front of these... And they do a movie that's bullshit. That movie was all bullshit. Wolf of Wall Street, I'll tell everybody out there, we know better than anybody. Bullshit. Those guys were never like that. That was not the way they were.
Well, they did like those lemons.
Yeah, they did the lemons, but those guys were just mean.
Did you know the guy, Jordan Belfort, we were at Rails, and he's sitting there, his wife, Nadine, one of the most beautiful women ever.
What about Lisa? The other one was married to Lisa. Remember Lisa, the blonde? Moved to California?
No, that's Nadine.
Yeah, Nadine.
She became a doctor. Nadine, the pretty one.
She's in L.A. now.
Yeah, and matter of fact, I had dinner with her and her
father was my air conditioning man.
So basically, he was so stoned on his Quaaludes all the time, Jordan Belfort. One night, we're sitting at the table, he goes to the bathroom, he comes back, and he started going, we had the macaroni, he actually fell asleep. I picked his head up, I told one of my guys, get him the fuck out of here.
I mean, these are the lowest...
garbage.
When I met Boto, I said, and we used to sit there at Campanola, waiting for the guy to bring the money over. Remember the guy to bring the money over? Yeah. Bo said, wait, I'm going to get the money. He go like this. Bo says, yeah, fine. Bo never really counted everything, but he knew to get the guy. He probably would have killed the guy if the money wasn't there. They were low lives. And now we have the worst. We have the biggest thief in the history of America.
Right? Let's not get into politics.
I know, we should really
get into politics. No, let's not get into politics, because you'll ruin the vibe, because a lot of people...
No, the vibe here is good.
Yeah, let's keep the vibe good. I don't want to talk about fucking politics, because I hate all politicians.
No, I don't
hate
them.
You saw when
all,
I ran against fucking de Blasio. I tried to help this city, and what'd they do? Stuck it up my ass.
Look at Trump, what he's doing here with Adewan. He's stealing money from him. He's stealing with China. Yeah. And his daughter... His daughter, they say Joe Biden's son. I mean, she had the Soho house, 90% empty, 90% sold. She should have been in Rikers Island. Ivanka, remember Rikers Island? That's where you belong with your two brothers.
Listen to me, Wayne, let's not talk about politics. Okay. Because you know what? If your friend Bernie, how about these teeth?
No, I love my teeth.
Bernie Sanders. If he gets in...
please go. That's why Bloomberg put all the money up, to keep him from becoming elected. That's why Bloomberg's in there. Today they just announced it. That's the reason he put the money in. He doesn't want Bernie to win.
That would be disaster.
No, we don't want nobody... Look, I love Bernie. Bernie's got all the right ideas. Not for today.
No.
We just got to beat Trump. That's the only thing that the Democrats should be thinking about right now. Not social reform.
Well,
not the tampons for everybody.
I hate to tell you. I'm going to be voting for our great president, but I don't care if you like it or not.
Who my great president is that?
I don't care if you like it or
Abraham Lincoln. I hate Donald Trump.
I know you do.
The biggest thief. Bernie did steal as much money
listen
as
to me.
Scott.
I'm going to end up saying this, but if Donald Trump loses...
Vote for a Democrat. Alfred E. Newman, other than this moron.
Donald Trump loses, I would think that... second best will be my friend Michael Bloomberg.
I love Michael Bloomberg.
Greatest mayor we ever had. Now you're talking with intelligence, not this nut from Vermont.
No, Biden's fine too. Look, we got to bring America together, everybody to love each other again. I mean, and we got to stop paying taxes for Mississippi, Alabama. I'm paying all these taxes in New York for those
people.
Well,
what am I paying?
Well, you're paying the same thing. And Trump...
We're paying taxes.
People want to buy houses.
We're also paying taxes for all those freaking illegals that you and your liberal friends want in this country. Stop your politics and shit. All right.
Fuck you. Okay.
But this was a great show. But listen to me. We always end our commentation at Punk of the Week. Something that's bothered you, a person, thing, or place. Something that bothered you this week. What's your Punk of the Week, Wayne Diamond?
What bothered me this week, other than Donald Trump, who always bothers me? What bothered me this week? My blood pressure fucking doctor. Every day with the blood pressure machine. I sit there like this every morning, like I'm praying to God. And with the blood pressure, that's what's really killing me. It's killing me.
It's killing you.
Killing me. Till you get this thing right.
So
I had this little artery thing here done.
Well, listen to me. So you're very sick. I'm not sick.
At
so
all.
Why don't you do me a favor? Why don't you just do me a favor when you leave now? The A train's downstairs. Jump in front of a fucking train. Just end it. I want the teeth, Carlo. I want the fucking teeth.
No. You know what? You need your hair more than you need the
Carlo,
fucking teeth.
Carlo, what's your punk of the week?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I would have to say just the way that the subways are running so bad. It's like becoming worse and worse.
And they got rid of that English fruitcake.
And they got rid of
Andy Byford.
He was doing a good job.
My punk of the week is our illustrious governor, who I'm going to name, not his brother Chris. I'm talking about Mario Cuomo's son, Andrew. He's the real Fredo. And I got pictures in my office. I'd like the governor to tell me to meet with me. He's Fredo. Because I'll show him pictures of the 10 dead kids that the Palm Sunday Massacre shot in the head and were going that way. How in the hell did he do this criminal reform? I'm for criminal reform. There should be nobody in jail for $2,000 bail on some bullshit misdemeanor. But when you got violent felons, have 20 other robberies, push a woman in front of trains, we've got to regulate that. You can't just do blanket no bail.
You know, you got 55,000 cops that are great. I mean, great.
And they can't do their job.
In New York. Well, listen. Cops should have guns. People that control the street, control our system should have guns. People shouldn't have automatic rifles. People should have normal guns. A gun, you go, if you need a gun for protection, a six shooter, I don't know what guns are.
Well, see, obviously you don't know about
six
fucking guns.
Well, you're both a
gun expert. No, you obviously don't know guns.
I'm a penis expert.
I agree with one thing. I agree with one. But the majority of guns killing Americans are not AK-47s, are not automatic rifles. They're small caliber guns.
Most of it's suicide.
But most of your Democrat-run cities, the murders in Baltimore, the murders even
Chicago,
in New York
Chicago,
and Chicago are run by your people. Your people.
What people are those?
Those liberal Democrat penis lickers.
Oh, come on. Oh, please. Leave me alone, liberals. I mean, none of us are. I'm like 60 years old.
That's all you are?
Yeah, that's all I am.
No, you're 75.
No, you're 78.
You're 75.
You're fuck
Carlo,
you.
Carlo, do a background 60, on when we leave.
60,
and we'll have a recap of this. You're 75.
I mean, Bo, I was always younger than you. Give me
you
a
were never
break
younger
already.
Than me,
always
you prick.
Younger than you.
Well, we want always. To thank you, Wayne.
I love you.
And
I love you.
I tell everybody,
man.
Everybody,
oh, right. Pleasure, man.
Uncut
really
Gems is about to come
uncut
out.
Uncut Gems.
It's about
get
to come
watch.
Out on video very soon.
And you got to check out Wayne's Instagram. You got
Wayne Diamond. On Instagram, only Instagram, the Wayne Diamond. Become my friend. I always answer you back. I'm always there for you.
Are we his
I
friend?
I love my constituency.
We are.
I want you to Instagram today and say, lick Bo's shaved balls, Wayne.
Yeah, but don't
link this.
Yeah,
we'll link it in and we'll get a picture of it.
Yeah, we'll get a picture.
Shit.
And I want to thank you, Wayne. Go ahead. How do you get us?
And you can get us. We're at One Tough Podcast on Twitter. And you can email all your questions, onetoughpodcast@gmail.com. And Bo is at the
Well,
real
we have
Bo
some
Dito
exciting coming. Yeah, we have exciting coming.
We have a lot of exciting
next week. We have
up.
The president coming on.
No.
Yeah, you want to join us?
Oh, yes, I'd love to. I'd love to. I'd love to join you with that putz. Yeah, come on. Put me head to head with that
motherfucker. Yeah. You just show me how much you know about guns. Wayne, take another line of cocaine. Go ahead, next.
All right.
Yeah, come on. You keep blowing him, okay? Keep blowing our president. He likes it. I think he's gay anyway.
Okay.
Is, okay. I mean, I should come out of the closet. Well, we know Pence is. I mean,
I want to keep going.
Take all those Coke bottles out of his ass. I mean,
Carl, can you end this?
And Pompeo, I think he's.
Carl, can you end this, please?
All right.
Princeton University. Give me a break.
We'll definitely have Wayne Diamond back for a second round. It's probably one of the most entertaining episodes we've had yet. We'll see you next time.
And go ahead.
And you can always email us. Those
and if anybody, you know, but Trump's on, don't turn it.
And
don't
if anybody turn. Wants to see Wayne, go downstairs, Grand Central, front of the A train. He will be committing suicide very soon. And Wayne, do me a favor. I want those teeth.
I don't believe me.
Those teeth.
Believe me. When I tell him I'm leaving my organs to everybody, I'm going to leave you my dick and my teeth.
Love you, Wayne.
All right. See you next time.